I'll start off with this one. It's called Laureate. Poet Laureate, the poet is the music. The pogue bogman in the Ivy League, separated by the world, separated by politics, separated by America, separated by alcoholic contradicts. The published poet, the being poet, the doing poet, the freaking poet, the daring poet, the bored poet, the seeking poet, the outside poet, the inside poet, poet on the side, filmmaking poet, smoking poet, global poet, musical poet, poet, poet. Bog man in the Ivy League, held fast by the deal, held fast by the time, held fast by the wheel, held fast by the rhyme. The elected poet, the rules poet, the exception poet, the drinking poet, the possibility poet, the generous poet, the sharing poet, the lover poet, the monthly poet, the ladies poet, computer poet, lawyer poet, doctor poet, pilot poet, poet, poet. Mr. Ivy Bogman, addiction to a gift, addiction to culture, addiction to nostalgia, addiction to the cure, the official poet, the traveling poet, the languages poet, the business poet, the praise poet, the justice poet, the moment poet, the martial poet, the beats poet, the dreamer poet, the whiskey poet, the hungry poet, the paradox poet, the late night poet, poet, poet. Ivy Bog, what seat awaits you? What feat abates you? What heat irates you? What beat dilates you? The poet laureate, poet laureate, the poet is the music. Thank you very much. Glad no one threw anything at me. Mr. Seamus, cheers Seamus. I hope he hears it one day. So without any further ado, can we ask up to the microphone Mr. Emmett Crowley.
Well, to keep with the mood of complaining about people published, this one is called Bridget Jones. Bridget Jones is a twat, I said, before the lynch mob formed, holding like banshees ready to tear me, the mad bastard, limb from limb. Bridget, the prophet of the modern woman working in the man's world. Chocolate, wine, even smoking is okay. Sex, if you can get it, is okay. I run from the mob only to be chased, shirt ripped off, pants ripped off, jocks, never even bothered. That way, could be worse. And this is one of the part of the Aran Island collection. As was up in Aran Islands there a few weeks ago. I wish I was a hippie. I'd grow long hair and wear pajamas, live in a caravan, and no one would call me a knacker. I wish I was a hippie. My lady would have hairy legs. Never lecture me on commitment, the pill, or even a mortgage. I could look at other women. Free love, man. I wish I was a hippie. Surrounded in love, my bong would never be empty. Good shit, man.
Thank you, Emmett. Good shit, man. Next up to the microphone, Mr. Tomas James.
How do you follow? Good shit, man. Better shit. Oh, yeah. I'm actually going to sing tonight. This is a song called Vita with McCree. It's in Irish, but I robbed the chorus from a song you'll probably recognize when I start singing it. Horoshe da valya, horoshe da valya, horoshe da valya, karista anum, tome kain kinta, gobel tu wandina, ankalina gum gale mira shila, horoshe da valya. Horoshe da ba'a valya, horoshe da ba'a valya, karista anum. Vita wim a cream or vita wim a shri, ag is lig de shri, to gas de edi, tan e dini e gol sambar. Et sinam dro lach ni fed lum an rash li, et sahum in gra, mar ni lis a gum an farts, du fors an shah, mam in naad, sam a cree wu wa tuk lish an gra, sam a cree can dal, na turum chans da dal, ni malam dal, ni malam dal. Horoshe da vaha valya, horoshe da vaha valya, horoshe da vaha valya, karista anum. Horoshe da vaha valya, horoshe da vaha valya, karista anum. This is the one I call my Motown song. It's called Entice the Mood. I've never sang it a cappella before, so I don't know how it's going to turn out like. But I'll go for it anyway.
Entice the mood. Let yourself be. Yeah, it's alright. Entice the mood. Let yourself free. Yeah. It's alright. Well, she's tinted and minted, brown eyes to the sky, and parted lips, and I feel it on my fingertips. Whoa, yeah, it's alright. Now silky legs wrapped around my head, and 5 foot four of sensual to explore. It's alright. It makes the world go round. It makes the world go round, yeah. It makes the world go round, round, yeah. It's alright. Entice the mood. Let yourself be, yeah. It's alright. Entice the mood. Let yourself free, yeah. It's alright. Now what can she do? She can burn the incense to build the suspense, magnetize just to make sense. Oh yeah, it's alright. Undress the moment and light some candles and chill back, relax, so you can handle me. And I set you free. It makes the world go round. It makes the world go round, yeah. It makes the world go round, round, yeah. It's alright. Now scabba-dee-bom-bom, scabba-doo-ba-dum-ba-dum-bee-ba-dum-ba-dum-bee. Ooh, yeah. It's alright. Scabba-dee-bom-bom, scabba-doo-ba-dum-ba-dum-ba-dum-ba-dee. Ooh. It's alright, entice the mood, and take it slow, entice the mood, girl, then you know, it's alright, we can do it your way, just after foreplay, our skins are touching, hormones are rushing, oh yeah, it's alright. We can do it your way, but just chill back, relax until you can't handle me. And I set you free. It makes the world go round. It makes the world go round. Yeah. It makes the world go round. Do I entice you, girl? Do I entice you, girl? Do I entice you, girl? Do I entice you?
Sorry.
Ooh.
Yeah. I'm thinking of another one that I've been doing on, if you don't mind. This one is called Romeo and I Are Related. I'm not sure if I can remember the lyrics, like, but I'll go for them now. It doesn't matter what you do, it doesn't matter what you say, it doesn't matter what you do, I think about you anyway, yeah. Romeo and I are related, cause it's always complicated. Romeo and I are related, cause it's always complicated, yeah. Whoa. I just forgot the lyrics there, sorry. It'll come to me, and there, you can see it, hang on, what a way to lose a crowd, you still there, I have it now, I hope, it's gone, I feel a distance, my ink bleeds, and shall we pass some love indeed? I feel a need to gaze and get lost in the haze of your eyes, and music my ears with some emotional sighs. I feel a need to hold you and console you, and for you to console me. I feel emotional, but it's out of thee, and I can see a distance, I feel neglected. And I got to regain the moment that we connected. I'm all protected. Romeo and I, y'all related. And cause it's always complicated, complicated. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter what you do. I think about you anyway. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter what you do. I think about you anyway. Yeah. I feel hypocritical, non-decisical. I feel it's typical, mentally and physical. I feel as though I can relate to thee, but why can't you just relate to me? Oh, I feel physical, mentally and typical. It's always the way, but you're so damn hypocritical. And I can't see why you're Romeo and I always related. Cause it's always complicated. It's always complicated. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter what you do. Cause I think about you anyway. Romeo and I, y'all related. Cause it's always complicated. Romeo and I, y'all related. Cause it's always complicated.
Thank you. Thanks, Tomas. Very nice.
Thank you.
Next up to the microphone, could we have a welcome for Miriam Casey?
Thunder. It's soft and colorful. It lights a beautiful flame that runs like a phoenix through the prime and rubbish bins of commercialism. It laughs in the face of businessmen and says, are you friends? Well, we won't do that. It twinkles in the eyes of children and says, please don't see it as something to manipulate. It looks up the noses of students and says, what do you really have up there? It has all the colour and nature of an exotic bird, dancing and takes flight. It troubles politicians, but it means a source of beauty. It's also a sense of fun. It's unimaginable to some people, and there you have it. They can't imagine it, so therefore it can't have happened. You have some, I wasn't deployed by the way, you have some kind of perhaps jumpers or short people. They can refuse to see it and go to work in an aura of divine rapture at their own belief. But all along they cause their beliefs themselves, while sundress tries to live. It doesn't mean anything at all, nice one. Some dresses are brave, they don't skulk around corners within gangs, like the gangs of Pullovers, the gangs of Cardigans. They aren't that rebellious either. So the jackets and the don't have to worry are two part of the scarf family, so don't close them.
Thank you, Maria. We're going to do a couple of microphone lessons for people one of these nights. Yeah, Anita's on, yeah? You're all guilty of this one. Try and come up close to the microphone if you can, yeah? So we can all... Well, we can hear you, but just so we don't have to strain so much. Nice one. Next up to the microphone, Alan Coakley.
Okay, I've been trying to learn breakdancing last year without much success, to be honest. So this first poem I'm going to read is called Breakdance and Rhyme. A beautiful cup of tea for me, reflecting, dejecting, without a pause, on my failure to honour the breakdance call. Why did I start this at all? Head spins and windmills are not such a thrill as you would think while looking in. Perhaps I had too much time, I started before I discovered rhyme. But the deeper question remains, why do anything this strange, why do anything at all? The truth is that the answer haunts me, addicted to their TVs at 40, a hazy, lazy mind that restricts and convicts us to the easy chair of those who sit and stare and stare. Those who appear without a care but underneath are full of fear, and tears that these people rarely come and boredom stiffens up their bum until they can no longer have fun. Struck dumb in the face of youth, the truth, the awful appall, they've wasted their chance to learn and swirl about the truth. I'm ruthless here, sorry folks, I don't mean you, of course. It's what's in my mind, a mental shadow of the truth. This is the shadow that dances over my mind, sometimes unkind. Until I find my mission here, I decide, I resolve to bend and rhyme and spend some time in the shade of my mind. And spinning, literally on and in my head. Thanks very much. I was reading about Jonathan Swift actually this week, and I was reading when he was printing Gulliver's Travels. He was afraid to print in his own name because he felt that the satire was so vicious on humanity and on people in the royal family in England. And that's Gulliver's Travels, which most people probably know is kind of as a story. But anyway, it was received as a comedy, and everyone loved it, and he was able to say his mind, and everyone who was parodied in it thought it was very funny, so he didn't have to worry. So. This next poem, I kind of feel similarly about it because I'm not sure if it's funny or if it's too vicious to be funny or too funny to be vicious, but I'm going to read it anyway and see how it sounds. So this is called You Don't Get Rich By Working. You don't get rich by working. In the past, this was known. There were three classes in the land, the upper, middle, low. The upper class owned all the land. Fortune was their lot. They stuck their noses in the air and cultivated not. And still their riches grew and grew, and now I ask you how. The answer, my friends, is that they never milked a cow. The middle class had books and stakers, culture, music and newspapers. Here I speak of bookish types who never work a day or night. The less they do, their fortunes grew until they're out of sight. They send their sons to college who saw it as their right. They sit all day and laugh away at those who work and fight. Now the wars of our society are added to the list of menial tasks for which the lower orders sit. And of course, for these people, no large checks are writ. In the past, all of this was known, but now we add the lie that meritocracy rules and that the limit is the sky. And this is the greatest lie of all, that if only they were able, the low could rise up and sup at their master's table. And that work is rewarded according to the rule that value is rewarded and the market's cool. For while the upper invest and the middle protects their interests and professions, the low are completely exposed to vicious market forces. So the more you do, the less you earn. This is the golden rule. If you want to be rich, this is the way. Do less and less each and every day. Do as little as you're asked and never offer to an extra task. Wealth will accumulate your way. And you will never have to say, I worked all day, what's my reward? A tired back and an empty rack. A weeping wife, a cheating lover, an ungrateful child in the corner. Though these may come to any man or woman, fortune appears to be no fan of a hard worker and an honest man. Thanks. Despite my advice, I do actually work. I'm working as a care assistant, and this poem is inspired by that. And it's called Why Is It So? Why is it so that I can move, but you can only move white hearts to love and foolish minds to pity? I tend my heart in tending you, but it is you who must endure the practical practice of love. Why is it so my marathons and triathlons, my breakdance and taekwondo seem unimportant compared to the marathon you endure each morning? And the dance you order me to is more beautiful than the dance that I would do if I were a breakdance pro. Thanks very much.
Alan, maybe we'll get you doing some breakdancing in here. Fair enough. Yeah? Why not? Yeah, I'll get a radio mic and we'll put it on you. Okay. Thanks. Next up to the microphone, Anita Daly.
Musician that I got to know in a music course that I was doing. Because you were thoughtful, superb lightness of touch as you join in the rhythm class, along with the struggle of learning, good comfort and performance. I throw your hair over your head, ball cool, and bend way over, pose for a poster, or play music so many hours into the dark of the night. Well respected now at a young age, part of the establishment, or is it being hardworking or playfulness, sureness of your back shows your enjoyment. On Fridays we look for the waiter, and he is there too, with his long hair and style jacket. He graces us with his presence. What am I going to do with you? Asks the boss. Put an arm around him to reassure, for they look on your part as beyond routine. It's a short story again about the music course that I was on. My first short story in about 10 years. Okay, I don't believe it. All men, she said to the supervisor. There's four women about to do interviews here, by. But they weren't successful. The other students put themselves out for me sometimes. You're artistic, she told him. That's why I love it here. I write poetry and short stories. Most of them are musicians, too. They're paid for their gigs. She's getting a bit distressed. Would you like to be a composer? Try putting a melody to those chords, suggested another part-time piano teacher. The main piano teacher said, you'll never work at music. You don't know enough about it. John was affectionate to her and a blessing to her distress. Gentle when her dilemma became apparent. Would you like to transfer to a writing course? The others in the course suggested. You're not getting anything from this course. They were engrossed in their music. Going to singing and instrument classes, practicing, rehearsing. Acceptance, matter of fact acceptance, lessened her dilemma. I have not noted yet your generosity. This is for you. She hands him a short story. Still, that kindness comforted her when she made the decision to leave. I'm getting very self-conscious, she explained to a friend of hers. It has to happen. Many people on the course, staff and students, did their best to help, identifying with her, offering help to put her poem to music. She enjoyed her efforts, but it did not really help her to master the music. Gradually, one of her friends persuaded her to leave. That's not right. You might have a nervous breakdown. The friend gave her a cold shoulder and she left the course. You lost your faith in me. Your imagination was not up to the mark. Still, your kindness comforted me. So it took a while to push her friend's advice into practice.
Thank you, Anita. And next we have Jennifer Matthews. Jen.
So this one
I lived in Newcastle for a time. It's a shame the guy from Newcastle isn't here tonight. But this isn't really about Newcastle, it's more about a friend whose father was from there. So it's called All That's Near and Gone. Allison, I saw you at the eyeshadow racket booths. You were considering the merits of powder and glitter and the indifference of bright and dark. Your eyes were smokier than the turquoise summers of before. Over those lids were the ashes of our hottest bonfires. Allison, you were, you weren't in Newcastle. You were, you weren't in Boots. While your dad's ghost smoked a cigarette outside, always watching you through windows, you didn't see him stumbling to a quayside pub, singing your song, holy, and then gone, like you know he is, was. Okay. I have just a really short one that I found. I like it. Thanks, Jennifer. Okay. Okay. Light diagonal on my pages, my bed sheets. Nothing is night fixed.
Thanks, Jen. Next up, we have Mel OJ.
Okay, here are some bits and pieces. The first one is called Love. I search the forest for the distant song. I remember echoes and walking through. I sense the flow of life, existing through the beating heart of some love I had forgotten, the holding of her hand, the dance through which we swirl together. I remember the sun making our hair glisten, the laughing and the weeping that caught us in some form of imagination through which we gave birth to ourselves, through which we could hear the clatter of pheasants and the songs the leaves sang. I remember drifting a part of myself, rising through the air and catching the moon with my hands, the girl, moving through the universe like some eternal song that rose its hymn through the leaves. I saw the face of a thousand faces, moving in through their own cacophony, screaming against the silence in order to re-establish it, echoing through the trees in their silent prayer to a beauty that sustains them. The rhythm of life that pulsated in my hand before I opened my hands and set it free. This one is called Iraq. I'm very involved in the campaign for troop withdrawal from Iraq and justice for the Iraqi people, and I've been working on that for at least 4 years. Iraq. The sun broke in my window, like a thief, searching amongst my dreams for the meanings it wished to steal. I raised my hand to greet it, moved my fingers around it, sensed its pulse. The pulse had splintered into birdsong and began the moment of mourning. I moved slowly, examining the shreds of ideas that scattered themselves across the floor, that reflected sun shimmering through their interaction with the thoughts that slowly emerged out of the dusk, that flickered like butterflies against the window, small wings that fluttered through the interface of beginnings. I reached for the history book that lay beside me on the table, moving through its pages, defining its birth and its forgetting, the distant king that moved through his kingdom, the searching faces seeking a meaning through the giving birth to some sort form of revolution that cascaded through society. Each question, the form of ethics, the sliding, silent bleeding of Baghdad, one hears it on the radio, those distant voices seeking attention, the moving of children before the cameras, the existence that came through seeking nothingness as a meaning, that formed the cradle of its nihilism and bred it, wrapping that nihilism around itself as if some form of explanation, The soldier holds his hand like a baby. The crying of children at night. The echoes of a bleeding that silently tiptoes through our television screens. The sun stole in like a thief to give birth to its own crying. This one is called Movers. I stood at the ghost of my beginning, moving through the trees like some form of imagination. The leaves whispered around me, weaving their own stories. A bird, a testament to when I was born, singing through the broken glass of awareness that splintered beneath my feet. I moved slowly, breathing in the crisp air of some form of winter morning when we learn to begin again, etching songs upon the fabric of our memory, the spider spin of dreams that silkly moves us into its own song, an entanglement of thought, beating. Thank you. This one is called Image. We begin and then become ourselves again, caught in a drift of some moment that rises with the waves, that lifts its hands towards the sky in a silent prayer to the dreams that reality became, moving through some distant image that scattered across the floor of the forest, that crunched underfoot, that became in the moment when its song rose to the heavens. We become part of ourselves and draw our portraits in the sand. We watch the ebb slow tide of what we once thought, what we became, the song rising through its bird wing moment, floating above us like the thaw clouds that trace across the azure, that painted themselves upon the sky of our resurrection. Water, the sand flow of life and sparkle of dew-wet leaves on the brow of memory. The bird, rising with its song to that blue azure nothingness through which the dreams began to flow. River-like, from their beginning, the shimmer of blue moon silver on the waters that flowed through my dreaming like a song I forgot, and then remembered. The ghost that touched my fingers and the elixir of some form of sense that crept thief-like through my dreams and sung to the flight we began as children when we held the world in our hands, our world, its heart beating through its history like the jungle drumming of some forgotten civilization, its echoes moving stealthily through the distant horizon, where I caught my dream in my hand and danced with her, spiraling through the universe like some quasar of forgetting, each moment caught within itself and a history that defined it, weaving silk with its movements, existing through the urban hymn and the roar of cars, the quiet of the forest, intersecting the motions through which silently we dance through the hall of dreams, each one beckoning, each one singing its own song, and twirling through history, the dance of the water, droplets between our toes. Okay, I've got two more. Is that okay? Song. I moved within myself, counting each moment of life through some form of thought abacus that slated each process. The moment of least spiral dream that moves through the center beginnings born out of the nothingness with which they are made. The child searching through history's dustbin to some figments of meaning that scattered on the floor as the light broke in. Danced to the mystery of some pan-like tune that echoes in the distance. That cascaded down the mountainside like some avalanche of dreaming that caught our swirl in the dance of its imagination. That breathes through the living sense of awareness, that splinters through each moment of life, breaking into sense, stealing the dreams of childhood that we pasted on the walls of some historical sense that interweaves its meaning through our fingers, that makes worship of the sun, dies and lives again, the permanent cycle of resurrection through which our meaning grows, tree-like in some garden of what was, echoing spirits through the songs that whisper through the leaves, that called us to our sensing. And this one, I'm sure you'll be relieved to hear, is the last one. It, if I can find it. Here it is. This is another one about Iraq. Shrapnel that splinters in one's body. The woman crying. soldiers doing their ghost dancing through Baghdad. The image of a young male, hooded. His crime, unspecified. The enemy combatant that lurks in the haze of the soldier's imagination. Everywhere but nowhere, the sun-parched poster of Saddam, crisp, rustling its own demise in the raucous noise of gunshots and the danger of the hospitals. To live or die, is there an option? The enemy combatant moves through his dance, in the imagination of the soldiers. The flowing robes of Bin Laden everywhere and yet nowhere. A two-minute hate to justify. What? The eyes of the child moving through each ghost moment, wondering where her father is. The soldier spitting out his gum and calling in a foreign language. The death of her father and two sons at a checkpoint. They couldn't understand English. He ran a small shop once, but that was the objective of a precision strike. The enemy combatant was lurking amongst the cans of beans and stuff, existing through the imagination of the soldiers. The enemy combatant, like some form of Hollywood creation, a matter of culture, a matter of dancing with the ghost that stalk Abu Ghraib, moving through some intoxicating swirl. The enemy combatant, in each dark corner, existing through some dream that didn't exist, but was forced into existence. The imagination of the soldiers and the cry of a thousand orphans.
Thanks, Mel. Images of Iraq there. Next up to the microphone, Sinead Ryan.
How are you? And this one is called Death of Dreams. A spider's web, just for a second, and then gone, leaving only wispy, fragmented memories of its existence. A home, delicate and vulnerable, almost intangible. A home all too easily destroyed, laid to waste like the dreams of yesterday. Those were my dreams, and today they are my fragmented memories. Remember what order I was reading these in this current part. Okay. This one is about September 11th, and it's called Remember New York. It's so easy to switch off and say, they're at peace now. But we can't avoid the fact that they were robbed. Robbed of their futures and happy times, of life and choice and peace. Worst of all, robbed of the right to be buried on sacred ground. Thousands of lives ended in a mindless act of cruelty. It is easier to not remember, but that would be the worst kind of sin. We need to pledge life and memory to all of them, and never forget the true value of lives unknown to us at the other side of the world. Okay, this is an old one. It's called Life Behind the Face. On every face a sneer, in every heart a stone. In every eye a tear, in every soul a thorn. Life aches for a smile, a gentle touch to ease the pain, a flicker of spring to start the thaw. Life, always people, always moving, never living, always dying. And that's the last one. I just wrote this a minute ago, so I don't know what it's like at all. called Echoes of Summer. The rose softly sings its scent to the air, whispering its grief, giving itself to life, to me and you, to the earth. Even as her notes fade achingly away, even at her end, born to live giving and die giving.
So there's no height discrimination here, and it's any poem.
Oh, no. this is
This is very lighthearted and a little bit hokey, but it's a true story, so here goes. It's called The Little of Togo. As I run to the washing line, anxious of my interview at 9, I barely notice the morning heat, chest in my towels, in my bare feet, a strawberry shower cap on my head, when a door click turns my heart to lead. No salt, no snib, no way back in, my punishment for 3 weeks of sin, for leaving a traveller's life of fun, of sun and surf, and no work done. But now I'm in an awful mess, no key, no phone, no way to dress. I sit to contemplate my pickle, I think of all the things, I'm fickle. The sun is hot upon my face, I cannot sit here with good grace. My sister won't be home till 8, and knowing her, she will be late. The garden hums with insect song, and for a while I sing along. Then decide to plunder in the shed, I cower until the rats have fled. My feet don't like the slithered floor, my moss-filled nostrils scream no more. I open bags with sweaty fingers, I hold my breath, but the stench still lingers. I find a t-shirt and some combat. I dress noisily in case of wombats. I curse my hives as I drown in fabric. I know that I must look quite tragic. I float mustily to the front step. I've truly fallen puny depth. I wonder what I'm going to do. What if I should leave the loo? Suddenly, instead of something musty, my nostrils pick up a scent that's rusty. A chopper hidden in the hedge. I make the most of this, I pledge. I hop on and cycle out the gate, and at the traffic lights I wait, uncaring of the stranger's eyes, watching me with wild surprise. I freewheel down the cudgy hill, I pray the rusty brakes work still. I sit alone along the pier, then spot a rubbish bin quite near. The irony hits my funny bones, I laugh upon my musty throne. The chopper calls again to me, so off we go, along the sea. As to my belly aches for food, a pizza slice would suit my mood. I pick my victim with beggar's eyes, I tell my tale, I get my prize. I cycle lonely as a clown until at last the sun goes down. I climb the hill, my bones are weary. I am so tired, my eyes get teary. I stand and knock at the porch door. I don't think I can take much more. I concentrate and wait in hope, then see my sister's lethargic mope. She hesitates at my swamped shape. Recognition dawns, her mouth agape. She laughs so hard, she holds her belly. She moans when I cry that I'm smelly. Sorry, stop with memory. She cannot talk, she can but point. I tell her that I need a joint. She makes me tell my story twice. I tell her she's not very nice. I climb deliriously into the shower. What a day for any poet.